Hello and welcome to Build Back Better, a series of online conversations from For the Region about the future of South West Wales.
Hello and welcome to Build Back Better with For the Region. It's Global Entrepreneurship Week and there have been so many online events happening for people to watch and get involved with. It's been a really inspiring week so far and there's a lot more to come. With so much going on, we're delighted that today's guests have managed to take time out of their busy week to join us to talk about entrepreneurship and starting up a business here in South West Wales. We're delighted to be joined by Kath Penaluna, Associate Professor in Enterprise Education at University of Wales Trinity St David, Kelly Jordan, Entrepreneurship Officer at Swansea University, Kim Mamende, Project Manager for the Centre of African Entrepreneurship, Catherine David and Sue Poole, co-directors of Young Business Dragons, Alex Caldea, founder of DIL. I'm Zoe Antrobus, and this is our host, Dawn Lyle.
Thanks, Zoe. Hello, everyone, and welcome to what I think will be a really interesting and inspiring conversation today about entrepreneurship in the region. It's our mission to encourage businesses to start up and stay here in South West Wales. And I'm a passionate believer in the power of entrepreneurship to make good things happen. It's not just that entrepreneurs create businesses and economic development and create jobs and opportunities. All of that is massively important. But also, entrepreneurs want to change things. They want to make things happen. They look around, they see things that aren't working, and they invent solutions and create progress. So we need entrepreneurs. I always say we need entrepreneurs in all aspects of our lives, in social care, in health, in technology, in communities. We need entrepreneurs making great things happen. So I'm always inspired to talk about entrepreneurship and to meet some of the entrepreneurs across our region who are putting themselves out there and starting businesses. It's something I identify with personally. And so I'm going to bring in Alex, first of all, because Alex is a Swansea University student who has started up his own technology business in the region. Welcome, Alex. Thanks for joining us. Tell us about your business and your journey of entrepreneurship here in South West Wales.
Oh, thank you. It's really nice meeting you today. So that's great. Yeah, my name is Alex. I came in the UK when I was 18. That was in 2016 when I started university. I wanted to go for computer science because I really liked computer science. During my university time here at Swansea, I went through lots and lots of directions. So firstly, I've done a year in industry. I've worked for a big software company for 1 year, which was a really good experience. Like, I've gained a lot of knowledge in computer science, which is really, really important. I knew that I wanted to build a startup. I knew that since my second year. So I just focused on that since then. I like food a lot. So I knew that I want to go into something with food. Initially, what I built, it was an app like Tinder, but for food. So people were able to swipe left and right for meals that were nearby their location. They were able to have a list of favorite meals. Then they were able to choose from those. The app generated quite a few downloads. It was pretty popular where we've launched it because it's a fun thing. But then I just thought that I need to add more value to it. I was just walking around the campus and I've seen that the queues were huge at the on-campus food outlets. So that's how DIL came in place. I just wanted people to skip the queues. So DIL is a platform where students and university staff can pre-order their meals in advance. They can pay with credit cards, Apple Pay or Google Pay. They can simply go to the food outlet and they can pick their items and leave quickly and enjoy more of their time. We've started at Swansea University in February this year. It was not a good time because the pandemic came right after a month or two. So it was really challenging at the time. I just went to the entrepreneurship office at Swansea University and they've suggested me I should apply to Big Ideas Wales for the boot camp there. They've said that it will be quite a simple experience, that most of the people there, they're at the idea stage of their business. But they've said you should go for it and just try and learn something out of it. So I just went there and that's where I've met Miranda, who was my advisor. She put me in touch with Sue, and then with Sue, we had a few meetings. We've talked about what I was doing. At that time, the startup was right over the at the beginning of it. So I think we were just about to test it in a pub at Swansea University. So it was really, really small. We were talking about the seed fund and she really encouraged me. She told me that you should go there, you should test it, and then you should come back and we'll see the results. So that was something that really motivated me. I proved that this will work. I tested it at Swansea University. The trial went really good, but then the pandemic came in place and we stopped it for like a few weeks. And then we just thought that universities will need such a product, right? Because they don't want people in close proximity when they reopen. So we've just started to approach more and more universities and we got really, really positive feedback. One of them was Imperial College. We've talked with them for a few months where we've just developed more and more features. And then we've launched at Imperial College in July in their campus in South Kensington, which is quite a big one. As well, really helpful that I participate in the big pitch at Swansea University where I've earned funding, which was incredibly important. We were able to buy equipment, tablets, printers, you know, because our app works on the staff there. They have a tablet where they receive incoming orders. We also supply them with printers from where they can print receipts. We were really fortunate that we had those funds from Swansea University, from the Prince's Trust. So it all binded really well together so that we could have a really good start. And now we are in three campuses at Imperial in over 10 places there. We're launching at Nottingham Trent University, at Sheffield Hallam University. It's getting a bit delayed because of the lockdowns that are happening there, but we're going on that route to launch there. We've launched at the Royal College of Music in London, which is a really, really prestigious place. Yeah, now it's just, there are lots and lots of things that I didn't believe at the time that will happen. Now they're happening. So we will be doing a campaign with Red Bull UK. We'll be giving students a can of Red Bull, so thousands and thousands of cans, which is pretty amazing. I mean, we're just a startup and we're doing a campaign with Red Bull, which is pretty crazy. Now we're approaching schools as well. There's a really interesting project that we're doing now, which will be launched in January next year. It's about the schools here in Swansea, which is something really important for me and my team. So I'll tell you more about that when we reach January.
Wow. I mean, thank you, Alex. I think there's so much in what you've just said, but you know, what I can really relate to is it's just such an exciting journey, isn't it? When you end up in places talking to people that you never imagined you would, and opportunities open up all the time. And it's the life of an entrepreneur, isn't it? To spot those opportunities, roll with those new connections. Suddenly you're in one of London's major universities. And what a great attitude to have that actually COVID strikes must have, you know, COVID must have knocked you off your stride. Suddenly everything's closing down. You're thinking, how does this affect my business? But with a bit of reflection, you realize actually this is a massive opportunity because they need my service more than ever for social distancing in university campus venues. So how entrepreneurs are able to actually spot opportunities when actually it looks like a problem, but it turns out to be a great time for an app just like yours. I really appreciated what you said about the support that you received from lots of different sources. And so I think that's what we want to get into today. And we've got a number of people on this call who are just absolutely the right people to talk to when you're thinking about starting a business. But what you've said there about the interconnectedness of that. So you went along to the seed pods, you were obviously supported by the entrepreneurship department at Swansea University, and we've got Kelly here to talk to us about that. There's Big Ideas Wales, there are all kinds of opportunities to pitch your business, present your business to others. And I remember that myself as an entrepreneur coming out of University of Wales, Trinity St David, I think it was called Swansea Institute back then, with a tech startup, but we felt so much part of an ecosystem and supported from different angles. When you're doubting yourself and doubting your own idea, it's really empowering, isn't it, to have those conversations with people who take you seriously. Was that your experience as well?
Yes. So something that I did without realizing, I think it really, really helped. So especially with people that are trying to give you helping financial help, like grants and all these ways of helping young entrepreneurs, I think it's really important to stay real with what you're doing and to be really honest about the numbers that you have. Because if I would have gone initially and if I would have said, oh, I will launch in, I don't know, 5-6 places, but I would have launched only in one, then that wouldn't have worked out as well as it did now, because now we're surprised at what is happening. So I think that's really important. Establish a truthful communication with the people that are trying to help you. Because in the startup world, it's not about expanding your numbers or expanding the things that you're doing just to seem that you're doing more than what you're actually doing. I think it's really important to stay real. So that's what we did, and it really worked.
Yeah, it's amazing to hear that, Alex. So let me bring you in then. So you were running the Seed Pod at the Village Hotel in Swansea, and Alex came in to see you. Do you remember meeting Alex and what happened?
Absolutely. Next? Listening to what he said, he wasn't sure if it was a great idea. But immediately, I think I met him first, and then Catherine and I met him. Immediately, we could see that he was just so inspiring. He had a vision of how he wanted his business to grow. As he said, he kept it real. He was talking about, well, we've just started and this is our idea. But suddenly, and I had a chat with him a couple of months ago, and to see how he'd grown in that very short period of time. So he might not have seen it in himself, but we certainly knew that he was something special. Him and his co-founder had really got a fantastic idea. But besides that, it was his passion and drive. We could just see it. We knew he was going to fly. And you mentioned the ecosystem in Swansea, in Southwest Wales. We've really got it nailed. We're such a small community of a support network that we know the right people. So I think we introduced you to a local solicitor. We had a solicitor come in and had a chat to you. Yeah. Peter Lynn, who supports the Young Dragons. I've introduced Alex to a chap called Mark Hindmarsh, who is a business angel. So if he's looking to scale up and expand, he'll be able to introduce him to the right people to bring extra funding into the business. It's because we all know each other and we've got that lovely ecosystem in the region. So, but we knew straight away that he was going to be somebody special and someone to watch.
And I think one of the things that struck us with Alex too was, I remember he came in and he'd started a little bit of a trial in one of the cafes on the university campus, but we said, no, you need to do a bit more research, you need more information before we could give you the Seed Pod funding. And he did. And but there were other applicants for the seed fund who we would say, no, you need to do a little bit more market research. And either they didn't want to listen or they didn't want to do it. But you know, Alex clearly just wanted to learn and to do it properly. And I think that's made a big difference to the progress that he's made, actually. He's listened and he's learned and he's moved on.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Thank you. I really appreciate the kind words. So thank you very much for the nice words. Yeah.
Well, they're true.
Thank you. I want to bring Kelly in. So Kelly, you run the entrepreneurship program at Swansea University. So you would have been the first port of call for a small business like Alex's starting up. Is Alex one of many young business owners that you're supporting in Swansea University? What's the culture of entrepreneurship within the university?
It's actually increasing day by day. So in 2019, we had about 40 students start businesses. And from January until now, which is obviously November, we've had 50. So we're already increased 10 on last year. Obviously, we're seeing now a lot of industries we're seeing all the time about the economic climate, and there's less jobs for students and graduates. And, you know, it's quite a scary time for them. So we're just reminding them that actually you don't have to just go and pick a job that, you know, it's just out there. You can actually be, as we say, like the master of your own destiny. Why not start a micro business and do something you're passionate about every day? You know, do your dream job. And that's what we're supporting them with. So we are one of the 85 Santander universities in the UK. So we receive money for entrepreneurship to go directly to our student startups. Alex, as he said, was a beneficiary of that. So he won one of the big pitch competitions we do at the university. I think he received just over £2,500 to go and develop his idea further. Every year we get to put one of our students who is an exemplar of entrepreneurship into the Santander Emerging Entrepreneur Awards. And we actually chose Alex this year, which is fantastic. And he really did represent Swansea University so well. And we were honestly so proud to see him there in the final pitching. So yeah, it's been amazing, and the culture is growing. We're trying to publicise all our students who are starting businesses to show other students, you know, don't ever feel it's impossible. There's so much support here at the university, and like I said, in the ecosystems. I know in University of Wiltshire and St David, they got some fantastic stuff going on. We do work really closely together to put on programmes to complement each other as well. And we've got two different universities, like Swansea concentrates a lot on STEM subjects, science, engineering, medicine, etc. And then obviously you've got Trinity, who do a lot of creative. You know, we can really complement each other and provide like a network for our students. So we are really keen to do that. But I think it's just the whole region of Swansea, really. And we're really lucky to have such fantastic things going on, you know. And like Sue and Kath and yourselves will all know that we all work together really well, and we make sure that there's always communication between us all. Anything we do, you know, we invite each other along to, we push our students together, because we realise that's where the value is. The value isn't always, you know, doing stuff on your own. It's actually, how can I do it with other people, and how can they help me develop? So, you know, we're all advocates of that ourselves.
Well, you know, I'm thinking back to my own entrepreneur story. I was a student at University of Wales, Trinity St David, and I'd come from London. And I, like Alex, in my sort of first year, second year was when I started thinking about starting a business. And then by the time I graduated, I had established a startup with my partner, and there was never any question in my mind about going back to London because I'd had so much local business support. And I think that's a key challenge that we've got to address, is all this support in the universities and in the region. Are we supporting startups to then leave and take their businesses away? How do we keep them here to grow their businesses in Swansea and South West Wales instead of going back home and taking their businesses with them?
So that's so correct. And obviously, as universities, we have a lot of students coming from all over the UK and internationally. You know, we've had some the last few years have been from America, Australia, New Zealand, you know, some fantastic places. And they come here to the university and they're entrepreneurial and they think, oh, I'm going to go and start my own business. As you know, universities have such good facilities. We are a breeding ground for innovation. And there's some, honestly, I'm blown away daily when a student comes to me, I've got this fantastic business idea. And thinking, oh my gosh, I've never thought of that. So, you know, it's really good. But as you said, you know, Alex is a Romanian, you yourself are from London. And we do see it all the time. They come here, they have some fantastic support. Universities and colleges across Wales, we are heavily supported by youth entrepreneurship scheme from Welsh Government. You know, we receive quite a lot of funding to develop entrepreneurial skills in the students in line with the YES strategy. We are really conscious about them receiving funding from us at universities and colleges across Wales and then taking their fantastic businesses back home with them. You know, we really want to keep them in Swansea. So we've been working with yourselves for the region to set up a new initiative for student startups. You know, we all feel very connected in the region and we want them to as well. So we've got a new little scheme going on called Starting Up in the Region. So it's where any startup is able to join for the region for a discounted price. I think it's £60 for the year, and they're able then to develop their own networks. It's fantastic. We can, you know, we can open up networks for them, but I think it's important for people to build their own network and build the people they want around them. So this will allow them to communicate and to network and interact with not only startups like themselves, who can, you know, support each other through this journey. As we all know, it's not an easy journey. It's quite glorified at times. You know, you see it sometimes online, people, you know, can work from anywhere in the world, can do this, can do that. But we all know sometimes it's staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get a bid in or just trying to develop yourself. So it's quite interesting, but also it allows them to interact with more established entrepreneurs, but also get them the exposure they deserve around the region. And fingers crossed, they feel so supported here in Swansea that they won't ever want to leave. I see it all the time, actually. We even staff who work in the university, they see them from further afield, and I say to them, oh, so how are you? You know, you're from Norwich, or how are you still living in Swansea? Though we came here from university, we loved it, we never left. And, you know, you see it a lot, and we want our students to replicate that answer. You know, I came to Swansea, I felt so supported that I never wanted to leave. So fingers crossed, we will achieve this with a new scheme.
Yeah, great. I could bring Zoe in here to talk about that. We're really delighted to be working with the University and University of Wales Trinity St David to launch this programme this week, Starting Up in the Region. And Zoe, you're passionate about making those connections, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's a real opportunity for those startup businesses to meet our existing members. For the region, we've started up regular members forums. It's going to be brilliant for the startup businesses to get involved in those member forums, meet and discuss things that might help to influence them. We've got a creative and digital group. We've got development and investment. There's circular economy and sustainability. There's so many opportunities for them to hear a diverse mix of perspectives and get to know some businesses and organisations that might be able to help them on their way.
Yeah, I'd love to bring Kim in here because, Kim, you're doing really important work in the region. Kim is from the Centre for African Entrepreneurship and does a huge amount to support entrepreneurs from lots of different backgrounds, people who are new to the city, people who've lived in Swansea for a long time. Tell us, Kim, about your work.
Oh, thanks for the introduction, Dawn. I think actually just when Kelly was speaking, she raised a very important point that I think for us that, you know, we take really seriously. When there's no opportunity, I think that's why even the center was founded in the first place. When there's no opportunity, I believe, you know, entrepreneurship is the root. And entrepreneurship, like you said, Dawn, is literally everything, because without it, you know, a lot of things wouldn't be there. So for us as an organization, the Center for African Entrepreneurship, our aims are to empower mainly people of BME communities and just providing them with opportunities and promoting community cohesion, especially. So I'll speak more because we do run a lot of, you know, different activities within the community, not only to do with entrepreneurship, but employment and other things. But obviously, I only speak about entrepreneurship for now. Right now, our main focus was on trying to empower young people, especially. So our project was Swansea Youth Entrepreneurs Network, and it was targeted for people just ages between 18 and 30, but it didn't mean that obviously we turn away anyone that has a business idea. So what we saw, especially I guess in our communities, is so many people have so many business ideas or just, you know, very innovative minds, but they have no idea where to start or where to even begin to look, how to even register maybe their business. But they have such amazing ideas. So that is where we came in as an organization to try just be that support. And even though we might not be experts, with every single person that's here on this platform, we've worked together in one way or another. And it's for us to just, at least if we can't do it, then we know maybe Sue and Catherine will do something about it. Or if it's Swansea University, will support us in any other way. So we've just tried to create that network, especially for young people, not only for them to work together, but to also work with the other supporting organizations around us. So as I think Alex as well mentioned initially, and as we were talking, I think entrepreneurship seems like sometimes a very glorified thing, and we forget that, you know, it is actually a very stressful journey. It could be a very stressful journey and could take a toll on people's mental health, and sometimes they end up feeling isolated. The aim of the network is not only for them, you know, to get the business support that they require, but for them to just be able to meet and talk to people that are like-minded and probably going through the same struggles. You know, like you're saying, maybe I know I'm applying for funding, and then maybe we're just chatting. Maybe it's nothing to do specifically about our businesses, but just talking about it, being with people that, you know, really understand that the journey that you're going through. And our projects, we've run a lot of different activities, really. And for us, I think what we like doing a lot is always coming back to the young people that we work with and just asking them, what exactly do you feel like you need? Because what we've seen is sometimes as organizations or support people, we might fall into a trap where we end up just doing things that we think our entrepreneurs require, not specifically something that they've asked for themselves. So we try all the time to be very specific and bespoke in, you know, the things that we do. So I'll just give a few examples of, you know, just things that we've done. Last year, initially, we saw from doing consultations, especially with ethnic minority women, it was a thing of them talking about lack of representation. They see that in high positions, it's not often that they see a black woman in a position of authority where, you know, it's someone that they can look up to and be like, okay, I can get there someday. So what we did is we decided to host a meet and greet with, I guess, the richest black woman in the UK. So her name was is Valerie Moran, and she started up a business with her husband here in the UK. And she was originally from Zimbabwe, but then she came here to study and then ended up doing her business. So she's been here for so many years, and she's the first woman, the first black woman to be on the Times Rich List. So that was a very inspiring, you know, person for us. And we felt like it was important for entrepreneurs, obviously, to have that opportunity to, you know, talk to her, to meet her. And it's someone that's very relatable because she was sharing her story, her journey about how she's just a regular girl from Zimbabwe who has come here to study. And now she's managed to achieve so much in her life. And even the feedback that we got was now people felt a little bit more confident about their own journey. They know they're going to struggle. They're going to reach times where, you know, it's really low. They don't know what's going to happen, but still at the end of the day, they know they will reach where they want to reach. So we've run a lot of different activities. I think all of you were at our Becoming event, which was a year ago in November in the Brangwen Hall. And as well for that, the aim was just to bring everyone together in the same room. How we did it was quite intentional because we had entrepreneurs exhibiting all around and then the support organizations in the middle. So it was just in a way to just bring everyone together in a space where they can talk to each other and also giving a chance for our entrepreneurs as well to win different prizes and support for them to just go on with their journeys. So I guess just like everyone, I said, especially Zoe and Kelly and Kath about the starting up in the region, I think that is a very important initiative that is important because networks are everything. For entrepreneurs, I believe your network is what will make you reach different places. So I'm really excited about especially the starting up in the region initiative.
Thanks, Kim. I remember your event in the Brangwen Hall, Becoming, and what it was really was just a celebration because there's so many inspiring and amazing young business people with all sorts of ideas. And as you say, we need that, don't we? When we're, you know, slogging away day after day, trying to make a business idea work and the inevitable challenges and discouragement that comes from that. It's so empowering to have those occasions where we come together as a community and we really celebrate each other. And I just think that anyone that takes that plunge and has that self-belief to, you know, put themselves out there, take a risk and start a business, they really, you know, they're heroes. They really deserve all the support we can give them because they're taking that big plunge for themselves. So I love the kind of celebratory aspect of your event. And I think we need that in our ecosystem, those moments where we take stock and we think, look, you guys are all doing so well. And we all want to support these new and emerging businesses. I'd like to just bring in Kath Penaluna now. So Trinity St. David has a great reputation for enabling startup businesses. And as I've already said, that was the journey I went on and had great support from the sort of digital media and 3D computer animation and the graphic design illustration departments, which are a hive really of creative entrepreneurship. Kath, tell us about some of your students and some of the stories from University of Wales Trinity St. David and how you support those startups.
It's been inspiring to hear Alex talking and, you know, Kelly, Kim, Catherine and Sue about the journeys. And Kim, with talking about her Becoming event, has taken me back to last year because it was part of Global Entrepreneurship Week, one of the great launch events being held in Swansea. And one of the designers there was one of our graphic designers. Dawn, you mentioned our graphics department, and he supported some of the design work, obviously the invitations and what have you. Now, he was an entrepreneur I really wanted to keep in the region. A superb guy, really inspirational, obviously incredibly talented, but he's been snapped up by Apple and has subsequently moved to London. But he loves Swansea and he's still going to be supporting us. So whilst he's moved in this new digital world that we work in, he might not be physically located here anymore, but he will most certainly be supporting us. And he's amongst many of our graduates who are very much an integral part of our ecosystem because it's our entrepreneurial graduates who feed back in to people like Kelly and myself and let us know how we should be developing our curriculum. Because entrepreneurs need people who can come in and work for them with the specific skills that they need. It could be tech skills, it could be design skills. But for anyone running a micro business, those people have got to turn the hand to anything and everything. So they could be talking to the bank manager one day and then carrying out some marketing the next. And Alex raised the importance of communication skills. Absolutely vital. That's one of the things that our entrepreneurs feedback. But I said, we're incredibly fortunate to have so many graduate entrepreneurs who feed into our system. A big shout out for Wales, actually, and for our region, in that our university is ranked second in the UK for the survival rates of graduate businesses. And that actually reflects the whole ecosystem, you know, the people in this room, how we collaborate so well together. They've all touched those graduate entrepreneurs in some way, shape or form. So we're working very much with our current students, developing our curriculum, exactly the same as Swansea Uni is doing, ensuring that our students have the competencies for taking forward businesses, should they want to. And as we've already discussed, sometimes it is out of necessity, and sometimes it's a necessity because people want to stay here. You know, you come to Wales, come to Swansea, you really don't want to leave. So in addition to people coming to me saying, hey, Kath, I've got this idea, can you help me start? It's like, Kath, I've got no idea what I want to do. I haven't got a business idea. Can you help me generate them? Because I just want to stay here. So it works that way as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. If you can't find the job that you want, you've got to go out and create that job for yourself. And even if it is only ever a micro business that supports you to do the thing that you want to do. And I know that's the way for a lot of graphic designers and illustrators and web developers. You know, creating your own job and working directly with your own clients gives you massive freedom. And you don't have to start employing loads of people unless you want to. So it's a great route. I'd like to bring Sue in here because we're talking about the transferable skills that Kath has mentioned. So a lot of the skills that you learn through testing and trying out entrepreneurship become vital skills, not only for you as a business owner, but if you wanted to go into any sort of career, those transferable skills about communication and adaptability. And I know you're passionate about that and you get them really young, don't you? Tell us about what you're doing in primary schools and secondary schools, long before anyone's even thought they might go to university and what they might do after that. Why is it so important to get in there so early?
Well, like anything in life, Dawn, as we all know, the younger you start developing certain skills, the better. Most of the people on this call here have been working either with university students or students 16 plus. But a number of years ago, we realised that we wanted to engage with the very young. So we started working with secondary schools, 12, 13, 14 year olds. You can see the picture behind me. This is one of our projects, the Young Business Dragons, which starts to develop those very important skills, exactly what you've said. So the communication, problem solving, team working, creativity, resilience, determination, all of those skills while they undertake a 3-month project with us where they have to come up with a business and then they have to prototype and market and pitch. About 6 years ago, I started a small competition. It was only 4 schools in primary school. And when you start working with primary schools, you actually realize this is really where it's at. They're like sponges. They're so enthusiastic. No problem is too big, no mountain too high for them to climb. We are working, believe it or not, with 5, 6, 7 year olds starting at a very young age to build that entrepreneurial mindset, not just for them to start a business, but for them to be enterprising young people, whether that's if they go into work and work for another business. Who wouldn't want an enterprising employee who sees a problem but comes up with a solution, who will work well in a team, who will communicate effectively? Who wouldn't want those youngsters to work for you? So really, we're looking at the mindset, the entrepreneurial mindset. So we've got a couple of different projects. One is the Swansea Primary Challenge. Obviously, COVID has affected us quite badly this year. 3 months ago, we would have had about 1,500 young people selling their wares. Last year it was in Castle Gardens. This year we were going to be in the Great Hall in Swansea University, and you would have seen entrepreneurship at its very best. The enthusiasm, the excitement, the passion these youngsters actually put across selling their wares that they have come up with. They've designed, they've packaged, they've priced, and they're selling them like, well, it's just amazing to see. So yes, Catherine and I are playing the very long game, starting at little ones, but supporting them right through and continuing, as Catherine said, in education, continuing to develop these very important skills. And we want them, yes, we want them to stay in Swansea. We want them to stay in Southwest Wales. We need it as a region, we need it. Catherine and I, we call ourselves the old dragons, not the young dragons, but we really are passionate about starting to develop the skills and nurturing them right through their journey into then, as we've done with Alex, into the seed fund to help fund them and signpost them then into other networks that can support them right through their journey.
It's an amazing contribution that you and Catherine David are making to entrepreneurship in our region. And Catherine was one of the very first people I went to speak to about my business idea all those years ago and helped point me in the direction of what was then called a KEF scholarship, which was great funding for entrepreneurs. So it's great to see how you're still both working so hard to encourage entrepreneurs in the city. And Zoe, you were a judge, I think, weren't you, on the Young Dragons business competition?
Yeah, I was. I just love the project so much. I just think it's absolutely fantastic. When we're talking about keeping businesses, business startups in the region, there's no better place to start than with those young people that actually live in the region already. You know, and also I think it gives young people who probably aren't academics the opportunity to think at a very young age. You're influencing them and inspiring them to think in a different way, that they don't have to go to university. They can start a business on their own. They can come out of school, and you're giving them the tools to be able to just think differently and think about starting up their own businesses here. Those great opportunities. I'm always really excited about it. But every time we talk about Young Business Dragons, I really loved being part of it last year and seeing the amazing ideas and the thought processes that the different kids had come up with. There was somebody that was in charge of sales, somebody that was in charge of marketing and branding, and it was just amazing to see them all come together. I really love it as a project.
Yeah, it is our flagship program, really. And it's really disappointing this year that, of course, we've had to put that on hold. But Catherine and I are actually working on a lovely little project we're just about to launch in the next couple of weeks, working with our primary schools. And instead of us actually going and delivering it in the summer, what we're going to be doing is next January, we're launching a joint project with Swansea City Football Club and Swansea Community Trust, where primary schools, we've got 50 primary schools signed up, so it's probably about 1,500 children. And they have to design a product, bit of a surprise at the minute, we won't say what it is, but they have to design something for Swansea City Football Club, and they're going to be working in partnerships. So that's going to be launched just before Christmas, because we wanted to continue the work. So it's all going to be virtual. We've had to pivot slightly, but there we go. That's what you do when you're an entrepreneur. And we didn't want the children to miss out completely. So we're quite excited. That partnership is Catherine's liaising with the Swans. I think you can perhaps update where we are with that, Catherine.
Well, we were hoping to have been able to announce by now, but as ever, pandemics have got in the way. But we will hopefully launch in before Christmas, if not straight after Christmas. We're going to be talking to the schools before Christmas. And yeah, as Sue said, we've had to adapt things to take account of the situation, because we just don't know that we're going to be able to have the market event in Castle Gardens next year. It's looking highly unlikely, but we're coming up with ways of getting around that. And I think one of the things that I particularly like about the primary challenge is we had to go out and crowdfund it for ourselves, and I know many of you supported us, so thank you for that. And we were one of the projects chosen by Swansea Council for their support, so once we hit our threshold they put some money in as well, which means we're able to run the project now for the next 3 years. But we're often finding that the teachers are a little bit spooked by the idea of entrepreneurship. I think, you know, Kim made the comment that the term entrepreneurship is a bit glorified, and they often think an entrepreneur is, it's Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk, or if you're my generation, Richard Branson. We're needing to support the teachers to get over that hurdle of entrepreneurship doesn't have to mean you have to do things very, very differently. It is back to the basics, as you know, Sue and Kath said, it's those basic skills of communication, creativity, actually applying what you need, what you're learning in the classroom. And in terms of keeping enterprise in the region, I think there might be a role for the region then, in terms of the work that you're doing with the four local authorities, because it's a permanent problem for them on getting the balance right between attracting the bigger companies into the region that are going to stimulate growth, but also just maintaining that sort of bedrock of small startups that will stay here. So I think there probably is something that for the region can do to help cement that. We've all mentioned how important it is to network, and to work together. We've got all the bits in place, but we're still not as good as we could be, if we're honest, about joining all those dots. So I think that might be something that For the Region could do. And I know that, you know, Young Dragons would be quite happy to work with him on that.
I'm glad you've broadened out the conversation, really, particularly regionally. A lot of our focus today, we keep saying the word Swansea. I know we're talking really about entrepreneurship across the whole region. Does anyone else have thoughts on what the local authorities could do, or City Deal, or what needs to happen across our region? Sue?
The group that you've got here today are just passionate individuals who are doing the work because they believe in it so deeply. If it wasn't for Catherine and I approaching the Village Hotel, them partnering with us, them giving us completely free space, we wouldn't have a venue to hold our events, our conferences. So the Seed Pod, we called it, in the Village Hotel, was a partnership. Just during a conversation, I asked, would they be kind enough to offer us a space? Now, that's not really sustainable. We need something that the local authorities will buy into. I know in Llanelli, they've got the beacon. I think the beacon down there that they use. In Swansea itself, and sorry to highlight Swansea again, there is nothing here that if a young entrepreneur wants to go and have a coffee and meet someone, Tech Hub was a great place initially, and I know that's very tech focused now, but we need a place. What that will look like, sound like, I don't know, but we need something rather than people chatting online or just meeting occasionally. We need a space, somewhere where young entrepreneurs can come, learn, network, meet, develop. So I think the local authorities need to, they want to keep people in the region and they want to grow small businesses, SMEs in the region. They need to provide something. There is nothing at all available for young people.
Yeah, certainly UWTSD is working with the region, looking at our innovation quarter on SA1. And if we look further afield, looking down towards Carmarthen, we have Eireggin. We're trying to learn from the whole ecosystem as to how whatever we develop looks. So certainly that's something to be thinking about.
Sorry, Catherine and I went down to Eireggin and we loved it, Catherine, didn't we? You know, having that availability, having that building, that support was fantastic. And we tried to do something on a very small scale in the Seed Pod, but that was just Catherine and I and bringing in guests. It wasn't official, nothing official at all, no funding at all.
Yeah, we need to work together. It's a really good point, you know, because we've all got premises, the universities have got buildings.
Yeah.
And so working together, sharing those buildings. And I know actually, Dawn, you've got a really exciting venue for the region as well, haven't you?
Well, we've got our venue in Swansea train station on High Street, which is a hub for all our members to come and use and come and meet us. Obviously, we're all working from home at the moment, so it's less relevant for people to have office space. I mean, that's a sort of changing culture.
Yeah.
I wondered whether, Alex, whether you want to come in and share your thoughts on this. I know as a startup business, we were actually one of the companies that went into the Technium incubation centres, which used to operate in Swansea. And that was fantastic for us. But it wasn't low cost. It wasn't cheap and easy. It wasn't easy in, easy out. It wasn't flexible. You had to take on a whole big unit. I wonder whether actually startups need something much more informal and affordable than that.
Yes.
Alex, what would you say? Are you working from home at the moment? Are you looking for office space? What do you think your needs will be?
Yes, so this is, I would say it's a subject in our case, because we're a tech business, we work from home, we can do our meetings from home, we can sell our product to catering managers from home, we don't really need that space. But I would say this depends on the business as well. Maybe there's some businesses who really need that space so that they can work better, so that they can, as Sue said, they're really motivated people that really know what they're doing. They have that sort of vision. They know where they will be at. And then there are people who maybe need a bit more time to work together, to go through things together. So such a space would definitely be important.
Because I think even though we can work remotely, and we're all doing that now, there's something magical about clustering, isn't there? There's something really important about, even if it's just for one day a week that you pop in and you, you know, we talked before about how important it is to talk, just chat to other people who are on that same journey and to be able to access the various support that's available and not feel so isolated. And I know, Kim, with the Centre for African Entrepreneurship, you're actively looking at how you can establish some sort of enterprise hub. Tell us about that.
Yes. So for us as well, just like I guess Sue really mentioned, it's we've seen that for a lot of entrepreneurs, sometimes they are disadvantaged because maybe they don't have, you know, space to themselves or for their business. Like some conversations we've had, and for example, one of our entrepreneurs, he's got sort of like a dance club, but then right now he's saying, you know, I mean, besides COVID, like before, sometimes you'd have to stop because he doesn't have the funds to pay for the space, etc. And another one, he's an English teacher for international students that come into Swansea. And again, for him, it's a thing of, you know, he's lacking that space and everything is just maybe too expensive and he can't pay for it at the moment. So for us, we are trying at the Center for African Entrepreneurship to secure funding to just have a community hub. The main thing is for us to have that space, not only, you know, for it to be for entrepreneurship, but then a space where people that just want to do anything, they're able to just come and do it. If it's a way of booking that, you know, you've got your event that you need to host, making it accessible for anyone who wants to do anything that they want to do.
I think the location of these enterprise hubs really matters as well. In our towns across the region, I think every town should have an enterprise hub and it should have a shopfront. It should be on the local high street. It should be visible to everybody. It shouldn't be in an ivory tower, but it should be somewhere that every time someone walks past, they think, oh, they're starting businesses in there. Maybe I could do that.
You could go to have like a shopfront with like have people where anyone can stock, you know, it doesn't have to be one person's shop. So it's a shop where anyone can stock at all. Maybe like a cafe in that as well. So people can go and have tea and coffee. They can meet people. Maybe like the first floor, then like a multi-use space. So it can be used for conferences. It can be used for someone to host a dance class. It can be used for anything at all, you know, if the universities or Young Dragons want to put on a miniature event, for example, you know, they can be used. Maybe then another floor then for hot desking, office spaces, etc. It's quite similar. Obviously, many of you have probably been to the NatWest Accelerator Hub in Cardiff, you know, and they've got milk and sugar downstairs and they've got the open plan hot desking area. And it's so good. And I think that's what we're really lacking in Swansea.
These spaces and venues, they can look very different according to the needs. I mean, one of the interventions that Catherine David took on board actually was working in collaboration with Swansea Bid, and that's a shopfront that we have. It's Creative Bubble in Craddock Street, and we're looking for larger premises now, and we're going back to that networking and collaboration. So within that space we have exhibitions, we have pop-up shops, and it's a great venue. We essentially leave our students decide what they want to run in it, you know, we help facilitate it. But another space that is being called out for as well is what I would describe as dirty space, where designer makers can come in and start creating as well. Because an office environment is incredibly different to having access maybe to kilns, equipment, 3D printers, the equipment side of things as well. So it's what's in these spaces. And also being careful not to dilute the offering as well, because I think that's a challenge for us as a region. We have so many fabulous activities. We've already mentioned Tech Hub. We've mentioned the Village Hotel. It's almost some of our entrepreneurs say, well, which one do I go to? I mean, for the region, obviously, is the go-to. But it's making sure that people get an opportunity to really network and flourish without being there's being so many.
I just also want to give a shout out as well to someone who's really working to regenerate the region. I know he works with all of us, which is Ben Reynolds from the Urban Foundry. You know, he's given the Uplands Market, the Mumbles Market, the Marina Market. He's given everyday entrepreneurs a chance to test trade on a regular basis. And I know he works a lot with some of the spaces that are available around Swansea. And I just want to highlight just the fantastic work that Ben is doing to obviously promote entrepreneurship in the region and how easy it is for people now to go and test trade and to look at developing further. So just a shout out to say a big thank you to Ben for all his hard work he does and would support us as well, you know, in the universities and in the region.
And I know Ben's working with Pembrokeshire Council as well and looking at a project that they call the Meanwhile Use Project, which is all these vacant properties on our high streets, in our town centres, which, you know, due to COVID and due to difficult economic times, are sitting vacant and becoming a blight, really, on our townscapes.
I'm from Neathstone, and you'd be surprised. I, like, you know, if you want to go shopping years ago, Neathstone, you know, we've got the market. It used to be quite a vibrant town. And I lived in Australia. I remember I came home and my mum said, we'll call to Neathstone to get something. And the first day I walked through Neath, it was like a ghost town, you know. It lost all its charm, all its character. It was loads of empty shops. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's happened in the last 2 years? You know, it felt like, it was like, without saying rude, it was a bit more like a zombie town, you know.
And, you know, the entrepreneurs are vital to bringing life back into towns, yeah, and high streets. And so, you know, the project that helps landlords with vacant properties make those available to small businesses on easy terms with greater flexibility, everything that entrepreneurs need. And as Kath says, some of those need to be maker spaces, and some of those are more like shop fronts, and some of those are more like office spaces. But meanwhile use means, if you can't get a commercial tenant to rent a space, why not make it available on favourable terms to just support businesses bringing that vibrancy back into those places.
And I think that's what would make us really unique then. You know, councils are always looking for those big anchor shops to come and help to revive city centres. But actually, by having unique startup businesses, people will flock to come to city centres because they'll be picking up something they can't get anywhere else. There's all new businesses promoting new things. It'll make us really stand out. I love going to Brighton because Brighton has that feel of sort of full of entrepreneurs and full of new, unique things. And I just love the buzz and the feel that you get there. And it'd be great if we can, South West Wales can do the same for their town centres and city centres.
I agree with what you've said, Zoe, but I think one of the biggest issues with shopfront spaces is very often the buildings, it's the absentee landlord issue. So there's very little that, you know, local authorities or anybody locally can do about it. But I just wanted to make a comment about the whole space issue. And while I agree that there is definitely a gap for startup space, the fact is that over the last 20 years or so, an awful lot of incubator and startup space has been developed within the region, generally funded by the various European funding grants that have happened over the space of the last 20 years or so. An awful lot of them are no longer used as startup space for a variety of reasons. So I think, you know, we need to look at why is it, maybe we're just providing the wrong thing. What we think of as an ideal startup space just isn't, because we all know the building. You mentioned Technium, that's no longer a startup space. Yeah. And I, you know, there were a lot of Techniums created throughout the region. So I think that's an issue. But also key to startup success is, and we haven't really touched on it, is that hurdle when they grow to a certain point. So you can work from your spare bedroom or your kitchen table for a while, but the business starts to grow, and we all know that there's a big problem with what happens then. It's making that leap to the next stage, but that is a part of the journey. So I think, again, with on a regional level, there is probably work to be done about how we continue to support people.
Because of course that's the point where we lose businesses. If they can't find the right space in their local town, that's the point at which they'll leave and go and find space in Cardiff or Bristol or somewhere else. And so it's making those spaces available closer to home.
I think 2020 has taught us many lessons. And I think obviously, you know, having to isolate and social distance has actually shown people, you know, how much they miss meeting other people, being able to go places. So I think maybe things haven't worked in the past, but after this year, we might see a huge difference. Like, lots of people are saying, I'll never take for granted just being able to go and do this again. You know, and I think maybe that will help us be able to develop these spaces and get people to come to them again, because, you know, they know what it's like now to sit at home or work from home all day and not have that interaction. I think, do you know what, if I got the opportunity to go and work somewhere to meet these people, I'm going to take it with two hands, hopefully.
I think we could talk all day about this because we all love this. We're all on our soapboxes. We love this topic. It's something we're all personally really passionate about. What I'm hoping is that there are people listening to this who are thinking that it's the time. The time is now for them to start a business. And we've talked about difficult economic times and challenges to find opportunities, and maybe more and more people are thinking about self-employment as the way forward. So I'd like to just ask you all very quickly to offer a nugget of advice or a first port of call. If there's an entrepreneur or a potential entrepreneur listening to this, what advice would you give them? Kim, I'm going to come to you first.
For me, I think it will just be to just go for it, because there's never going to be a right time. I think a lot of the times people will sit on an idea for so long because maybe they lack confidence, or because they just feel like the support is not there, or whatever it may be. They just don't have enough information available. But I would just say, just go for it whenever, because at a certain, like, if you just keep on procrastinating on some of these things, you end up then just, you know, losing out, or, you know, at the end of the day, someone else might actually end up doing something and it ends up being bigger and you end up regretting, that sort of thing. So I would just say, just go for it. There's never a better time. And yeah, and at the end of the day, we're all here to support here in Swansea. So go for it.
Good advice. Kath Penaluna, nugget of wisdom from you.
Now, I would say surround yourself with creative people who've already done it. I would echo Kim's advice in that there's just so many people here. Get in contact with one of us, because that means you're in contact with everyone. But also know what your risk is, because yes, I would agree with Kim in just going for it, but also make sure that it's affordable loss. But go for it.
Good. All right. Great. Catherine David, let's have your nuggets of wisdom.
I think I'd say there is a lot of support out there, so make use of it. If you're given advice, listen to it and have fun.
Sue?
I'd reiterate what everybody else has said, but network even more. You know, go join lots of things, go on lots of Zooms, listen to lots of different people, and I think you're going to share perhaps some of our support networks anyway, Dawn and Zoe, to everybody. But just get in touch, and as Catherine said, if you speak to one of us, you link to all of us. But just absorb everything, listen to everything, join everything, and take it all in, and we're here to help.
How about you, Kelly? What's your advice?
My advice is, a lot of students will come to me and say, how did that person get where they are? They're so lucky. And I got to be honest, in an entrepreneur's world, I don't believe in luck. I just think it's when being prepared meets an opportunity. So I always say to the students, don't let what you're going through now, maybe in the global pandemic, hold you back. Prepare. You know, you don't just go and chop a tree down, you sharpen your axe first. So prepare, you know, work with us, grab all the support available. And then when the right opportunity comes along, that's when your luck will come.
Fab. Okay, now I'm going to come to you, Alex. As an entrepreneur, very much in the thick of it yourself, what advice would you give to somebody thinking about starting their own business?
All right, so you said pretty much most of the good things that a person should follow. So it's hard now to come with something, but I'll just start to think of the roots with how I've started. So when I was pointing towards Big Ideas Wales, for instance, our product was not at the stage of an idea. It was already in a good shape in terms of development. When I went there, there was a lot of simplicity, like people really just trying to start, trying to think about ideas. So I was there for 2 days. I just really enjoyed the simplicity, actually, that the people had. So from that point onwards, I had so many people that I knew through Big Ideas, Miranda, then Sue, and Sue now, who put me in touch with some really, really great people. And it's really important to enjoy that simplicity as well. This is really important to have those people who are just trying to start something. So it's really important to see that simplicity, if it makes sense. And yeah. To stay motivated is really important, to be focused, to have a really important, it's really important to have a high drive and work ethic. It's really hard without those, I think. And it's a combination of nice adjectives. So yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, essentially pick up on all of the points that have already been made. I mean, one of the most important things is surrounding yourselves with people, especially creative people, people who are inspiring and people who will give you feedback on your ideas. I think Alex's communication skills are obviously superb, and that's a lesson for everyone as well. It's just being able to communicate your idea, breaking down what that idea really is and what it means to other people so that you can get your marketing right. So yeah, communication, vital, both ways.
Absolutely. I think for me, it's a message about self-belief and resilience. But I think one of the obstacles that I've had as an entrepreneur is just believing in myself that I can do it and having that resilience. And what was interesting for me to learn is that any successful person that you look at in the world, don't think that they've got it all figured out and that it's all smooth and easy for them, because actually behind the scenes, they're probably just as anxious as you are and just as plagued with self-doubt as you might be and just as uncertain about the way forward. So I think really important to just remember that you're not alone. You're not the only one that feels like maybe you're taking risks or don't quite know what you're doing. We all feel like that all the time. So be resilient. Thanks so much, everybody, for being here.
Can I just add one little thing I just want to say to anyone who's aspiring to be an entrepreneur? Obviously, we've seen in the press at the moment quite a lot that 18 years of economic growth has been wiped out this year. You know, the graduate labour market is at its lowest. It's more competitive than ever. Don't let that put you off. Kath made a fantastic point earlier about, you know, it's not only about an opportunity-driven entrepreneurship, but necessity. There's nothing stopping you creating your own job. You know, a lot of time you see all this negative, you say, well, I'll never find a job now. You don't have to go and find a job. You can go and create your own, and we will support anyone in the region, regardless if you're a student at USCW, Swansea University, Gower College. You know, if you are just a general member of the public who've lost your job and you want support, get in touch with any of us. You know, we're here to support the whole region, not just where we work. You know, we want to make the whole region a better place.
We would all really echo what Kelly has just said. And that's the point of our starting up in the region club at For the Region. So as we've already mentioned, Zoe and I are really looking forward to bringing together startups from across Southwest Wales to co-create support that you need, to plug you into the ecosystem, to introduce you to more established businesses and other inspiring change makers. So join the club, get in touch with us, and we can point you in the direction of all the good people on today's call and so many others that we could have invited, but we couldn't fit everybody in. So we'll share all the links to the organisations mentioned today in the notes accompanying today's video. But in the meantime, enjoy the rest of Global Entrepreneurship Week. Thank you all to our guests for joining us today. You've all had a lot of wisdom to share, and Zoe and I really appreciate that. But that's all for now from Build Back Better from For the Region. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.